When I found out about the auditions, so I'm a musician, so I was actually chasing music more than acting, even though I grew up as a musical theater kid. So I thought I'd be on Broadway growing up as a theater kid.
This is the Real Vibe Podcast.
All right, welcome to the Real Vibe Podcast, Aaron Jacoby. How are we?
Stuff. Hey, man.
I forgot to do that part. We're keeping that in.
That's how we started. Hey, man, how are
you? Malik Yoba is on the show today.
Thanks for coming, Malik. How are you, man?
You guys are ganging up against me. Why are you sitting so close? I'm far away.
It's the camera angle.
I mean, if you want to come
over. They're
holding
you in a two shot?
I don't know what that means.
Two shot, man.
But if you want, you can come over.
That's your three shot, and that's a single on me.
You deserve the single.
Depends.
Story career. Pop culture icon.
I believe that.
90s kids. Favorite character in one of their favorite movies.
And adults. And the parents.
Because we all got old now. Well, that too. When I'm a 90s kid, I'm 38.
No, I mean the parents that took the kids.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point. Yeah, what you guys created with Cool Runnings is a movie that I can honestly say, they say family films, they throw that word around a lot.
It's a real one, though.
But yeah, yours...
30 years, yeah.
It's 30 years this year.
Yeah, you'll have like entire families come up to you and say, we watched this movie as a family 100 times. Like, real shit. It's incredible.
Yeah. And it has aged incredibly well.
There's not a lot of movies that you could say that stand up for 30 years.
Yeah, we just watched it. Just came from a screening.
I just watched it because I knew you guys were coming in.
How many times we
watched it today, like right before here.
Wow.
Nicole Wallace, MSNBC anchor, had rented out a private screening room for her 13-year-old. He turned 12, Liam. What's up, Liam? Nice to meet you, kid. He turned 12. He turns 12 on Thursday. So she rented out the theater, brought the cast in. He saw the movie for the first time a year and a half ago. He's watched it 13 times, 10 times with his dad. His dad just told me today.
You're telling me there's a 12-year-old kid somewhere who has watched.
No, not somewhere, right here in New York.
Who has watched the movie.
He's right outside. We left him outside.
He watched it with the cast.
Yeah, today.
He just lived every 12-year-old's nightmare.
That would have been like the equivalent of me watching Star Wars.
Right.
Harrison Ford and Mark Hamill.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many times a day does somebody come up to you and...
Every day.
Say, I'm not kissing you.
Oh, not that. All right. Well, let me let you finish your question.
What is the thing that people come up to you
and... Depends, man. It's a lot of work out there. Right now, it's First Wives Club because it's been trending on Netflix. So people get to see that. Which is fun. Cool Runnings every day. New York undercover, Cool Runnings. But it depends on the age, the demographic, depending on who it is, whether it's Arrested Development, whether it's Why They Get Married, New York undercover, you know. So
I saw
Cool Runnings and New York undercover more than anything.
Now what are you working on currently that you're excited
working
about?
Working on my tan just came
from so good.
That's it. You like it? Is it even?
Did you just come back from vacation?
I just came back from Jamaica.
Oh, you came back from Jamaica?
Stop it.
I was on the Welcome to Jamrock Reggae Cruise that Damian Marley does. If you love reggae, if you've never gone,
big reggae,
definitely check out the Welcome to Jamrock Reggae Cruise every December. So today's the 10th?
Yeah.
Yesterday's the 9th, came back. It was the 4th through the 9th. Leaves Miami, goes to Falmouth, then Ocho Rios, then comes back. So it's basically a reggae festival on the water. But they screen Cool Runnings three times a day.
Were you into reggae before the movie?
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So when you did the movie, was it kind of like, hey, I get to participate?
When I found out about the auditions, so I'm a musician, so I was actually chasing music more than acting, even though I grew up as a musical theater kid. So I thought I'd be on Broadway growing up as a theater kid. But music, you can control your destiny a little bit more. Mm-hmm. So
did your parents get you into it, or did you get into it? Is it a family thing?
What, music?
Yeah.
My father was a jazz musician, so there was a guitar in the house growing up. He'd have his buddies come over and play, and then we still had music programs in school, and then I started playing guitar as a kid, and then junior high school, I was in a band, a rock band, actually.
What was the name of the band?
What do we call ourselves? Because I got kicked out the band. Fuck you, Mark Seiden, kicking me out the band. Yeah, happy Hanukkah.
So the band is called Fuck You, Mark.
What do we call ourselves? See what happens when you kick people out the band, Mark?
I completely forget.
He loves telling that story, too. Still, and he's still one of my best friends to this day. So fuck you. So I was pursuing music, and I would just play out in coffee shops and the subway, that kind of shit. So yeah, nice. Man. Reverend.
So then how do you audition for, how does that come about?
Cool Runnings happened. Shout out to my brother Jamal Joseph. Jamal Joseph wrote a film called Seriously Fresh, which was actually the first film I did in 1989. And that came about, I used to run a youth program called the City Kids Foundation. So
awesome.
City Kids had a theater, like a repertory company, but I was more of the administrator and facilitating workshops. And it all goes down to, I didn't want other people telling me when I can work. So the acting thing for me was like, nah, if I have to rely on you to tell me I'm good enough for your thing, I don't want to do that.
Right.
So working with young people, by 23, I was the vice president of the City Kids Foundation.
Wow.
So I had a lot of responsibility. I was designing and facilitating workshops, working in schools, using art to engage young people. And I found out about an audition in the summer of 1989 for a film that Jamal Joseph had written, and auditioned for that film. And if I found out about like open calls, I would go.
Uh-huh.
But I wasn't trying to go get an agent and figure it out. It's like, oh, they're doing this audition, you know. And having gone to Performing Arts High School, one of the high schools I went to had a performing arts program, I'd hear about things. So that's how I'd pursue, if I pursued at all. But anyway, working at City Kids, find out about this audition. I go get the film. Jamal happened to have been in the Black Panther Party, and he did 10 years, and he had just gotten out of prison when he had written the film. And so running the youth program, I said, hey, man, I run this program. I want you to come talk to my kids during Black History Month about your role in the Black Panther Party. He also happened to be Tupac's godfather. And funny enough, Tupac auditioned for Cool Runnings, but that's a whole other story.
Wow, that's a cool little thing.
My mind just went.
And so Jamal, and stay with me because I know I'm jumping around, but Jamal, he came down to City Kids during Black History Month. We ended up hiring him to help run the theater program. Jamal is the person who called me on some random Saturday afternoon in 1991 and said, hey, man, they're doing this movie about the Jamaican bobsled team. Why don't you call this woman, Jackie Brown, and go down to SOB, which is a club in Lower Manhattan called Sounds of Brazil, and audition. So it was an open call, and I went. And for my audition, I wrote a song because every Jamaican has a song in their heart. So in the movie, enough people say, no, they can't believe Jamaica. We have a bobsled team. We have the one, Derice, and the one, Junior, Yul Brenner, and the man, Sanka, the fastest of the whole Jamaican sprinter. Go to Olympic, fight for Jamaica. So I wrote that for my audition. So I pull up to the audition.
This is insane.
And so it was an improv, and they said, so we want you, you're a track star, you ran a race, go, celebrate. So I pulled the song out, and that was part of my audition. 2 months later, I get a call from Disney, say, hey, can you come to L.A. tomorrow to screen test? And that's how I got the movie.
And did you think first day on the set?
So, when that happened, we screen tested, and that's when Tupac, every if you were black and you worked in Hollywood, you got an audition. they don't care if you're 15 or 55, because you saw everybody from fucking Freddie Boom Boom Washington, from Welcome Back Kotter.
Everybody wanted in
Tupac,
on this.
Omar Epps. Well, Hollywood was trying to find four black guys for a movie. you know, and Disney, right? So that wasn't, you know, there weren't a whole bunch of movies with four black young black men.
Oh, the answer is none. The answer is
not. Well, there was a couple. Disney, I mean, you had, you know, anyway. Juice had come out. In fact, the same director, I mean, casting director from Juice, casted Cool Runnings the first time. A woman named Jackie Brown. So she brought in Tupac from that movie. She brought in Omar Epps.
Yeah,
I think Khalil Kane auditioned for it. Jeffrey Wright auditioned for it. Yeah, anybody who was in, you know, they auditioned for like 3,000 or 5,000 people or some shit like that. In New York, L.A., Toronto, and London for Cool Runnings.
And the guy who wasn't that sure he wanted to do acting got
I love acting. I love the craft. I just didn't like the business of it.
Right.
You know, the business of the movie making.
Yeah, the idea that, like, you know, because I working at City Kids and just being in the city, had a lot of friends that are actors. And you see them beat the pavement. And a lot of them have gone on to become successful. But that beating the pavement part, I wasn't that interested in that. So, but music, I could perform and do my thing, you know?
So. We were watching it again the other night, my wife and I, and hadn't watched it in forever. And I did not know that me knowing who, that it is odd that your name is Yul Brynner.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie is apparently a deep cut thing that not a lot of people know where the reference comes from.
Oh, from The King and I.
I thought everybody knew that.
Yeah.
I grew up a theater nerd. Right. My mom was, and he was in the original Westworld. Like, I'm like name, and my wife is like, I don't.
Who? Oh, your wife didn't know?
No.
She didn't make that connection. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah,
and so I started thinking, I asked some friends who I know are not with my last name, because my brothers all knew. And they were like, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, I just love that I have this nugget
that no one knows. Yeah.
That it's homage to one of the great.
That's what I had a ball head.
Yeah. One of the great actors of a generation.
Yes, sir.
So I
thank you for the compliment. Oh, you mean.
Yeah. I love that you, like, everything down to being bald. It was this very cool thing. And I think what I connect with the character that you brought to the screen is the dream that he has that just seems so out there compared to where he is in life and what his current situation is. I think there's something about that.
That's everything, bro. Like, I wanted to bobsled and go to the Olympics as a kid growing up in Harlem. I saw the 1980 Olympics in Lake Placid for the first time. I saw bobsled. I was like, man, I want to do that. And then 1993, 13 years later, I'm on set in a bobsled uniform at the Calgary Olympic Park about the bobsled.
That's crazy.
In real life. So that idea of being able to see things that don't exist except for here. And then, you know, even though in that case, I wasn't really focused on it, right? So that's an interesting, you know, aspect of just that manifestation. But the intention, the ability to dream and to see things, even though they're not in front of you. I mean, we talked about your religious background off camera, but that whole thing about faith, right? And you know, people being able to manifest things and not really understanding the secret sauce, which is the belief.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do that thing, you know? So, and sometimes it's innate, right? I gave my teachers my autograph when I was 13. I said, I'm going to be famous. You should keep that. But it wasn't about, like, ego. It was just about, like, my life matters, and I'm going to do some shit. And it wasn't necessarily on film or television. It was just this idea. It was probably more music related, to be honest with you. But there was a sense of, like, my life is going to make impact on the planet. And so you should know that. So here, this is for you. And Ms. Donowitz kept it. My ninth grade English, seventh grade English teacher.
Wow. Still.
Yeah, still. It got stolen. So so when I did New York Undercover, I did an interview and I talked about that. And she happened to be watching the news and she recorded it, brought it to school the next day, VHS of the interview, showed it to her students, told that story, and then showed the autograph to one of the students. And then she told me that a kid stole it. So Ms. Donowitz came to my 30th birthday party. Like, we stayed in contact. I used to have a restaurant 5 blocks from here, Soul Cafe. And she showed up at my 30th birthday at my restaurant. And she told me that story about, you know, the autograph somebody being stolen. So I kind of believed her. But why would she lie? I'm in Puerto Rico, 2009. Woman comes up to me on the dance floor. Says, hey, did you go to Wagner Junior High School? Did you have a teacher named Ms. Donowitz? And she told me the story of Ms. Donowitz coming in and showing the videotape and someone stealing the autograph. She was her student during that time of New York Undercover. And I was like, she really kept that? She's like, yeah, she had a whole closet full of things that she kept from former students. It wasn't just my autograph.
Right.
She kept a bunch of shit. And then a few years after that, on Myrtle Avenue in Brooklyn, dude comes up to me in front of a bodega. Like, yo, you went to Wagner Junior High School. You had a teacher named Ms. Donowitz. He told me the same story.
Wow.
Well, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
That she just believed in all of her students and was just one of those teachers.
Yeah, for sure.
And everybody needed one of those teachers.
We all did. That's why you probably have one.
Yeah.
Who was your teacher? And you remember the name, right?
Yes. Miss Bobo. I wish I was making that last name up.
Why was she that person for you?
Second grade, I just didn't see the world the same way other kids did and struggled in school. She was the first one that was going to, it was like, this is going to be okay and you're going to do big things.
She saw you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you? You didn't go to school.
I did. I got kicked out of a lot of schools. I'll be sure. I went to four different high schools because of fighting.
I went to three. There you go.
Yeah. My parents got divorced. I got moved around a lot. But a teacher that impacted me, probably Mr. Joyce. He was a social studies teacher. But at the time, like I told you, my parents were going through a divorce. I really didn't have anybody to talk to. He knew what I was doing. And not only was like he a good teacher and looked out for me while I was at school, but after school, he would take me out for pizza, go get a Coke, go walk with me, and he'd check in with me, you know, like, hey, how you doing today? I know nobody's here. And nobody was doing it at the time, and my parents were too busy fighting over each other to, like, not even pay attention to what they were doing.
You're an only child?
I had a twin brother. He passed away when we were 24.
I hear that.
Yeah. And I'm 44 now, so it's weird. You know what I mean? It's like it's a whole nother lifetime ago. People are like, I'm sorry. I'm like, that was so long ago, but it is there. But, yeah, Mr. Joyce, there was that teacher
You should
impact
it. Do you host things?
I do. I host a lot. I do a lot of hosting.
Did you have the follow up questions and the prodding stuff? You've done some things where you're hosting things or something. You've got that thing.
Yeah,
I can. I do it. So
I got that thing.
I don't know what that's called.
Man, I got that thing. You need a host to come up in your crib because he got that thing, baby.
All right. Yeah.
But why'd you ask? What was the?
It's just you're good at it. Good at it.
You mean because I started asking you questions?
Yeah, very good at it.
See, I flipped
that. Good control.
Because I think that's an important point. Let me make sure we get that. So it was Ms. Donowitz and Ms. Terrell. Ms. Terrell was my fifth grade drama teacher. So she gave me my first solo to sing in a show called Rowdy Kate. I played a character named Sheriff Sam, and I had a song called Tricky Pete Porter. And so she's that teacher that said, you kid, go sing that. And that's the first time I heard people say, I like your work. And I was like, the fuck they talk work? What are they talking about?
Oh, you like you had
in
like
a play. Like when a play is over, like I like your work. But she came to see me in school plays all the way to high school.
Wow.
So keeping those connections with certain teachers. Yeah.
What an awesome woman.
Yeah.
All right. Real Vibe Podcast. Yeah. Malik
Real Yoba. Vibes, yeah, man. Talk about the vibes.
More content coming from more of the cast of Cool Runnings and just a bunch of cool guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Been a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Yeah. That's it. That's, fuck are we doing?
That's it.